Harper. Hits one in the air, looks back, it goes! Harper! The swing of his life!
MLB playoffs are near, and you know what that means, Alex?
Yep, Flippin' Bats will be staying up late and having all the fun.
From breaking down the most important stories in games, nobody's done what he's doing. Nobody, not even Babe Ruth.
To interviewing baseball's biggest stars.
I felt like I was pitching more stressed. I was trying to be so perfect.
No one covers America's pastime like us.
So as we sprint towards this year's World Series on Fox, please make sure to listen, follow, and subscribe to Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander and me, Alex Curry.
Baseball is fun, and so are we. We're going to have fun, dang it. We'll talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Undeniably Dairy. Dairy farmers are more than farmers. They're climate caretakers. They see water as a precious resource. Most farmers recycle water up to four times, from chilling the milk to irrigating the crops. And some even use technology to turn manure into renewable energy. To learn more about what dairy farmers are doing to make their farms more sustainable, visit usdairy.com.
Yeah, that's good. Welcome to another bonus episode of There Will Be Dungeons, where for about a half an hour, we sit around and answer your questions that you submitted at therewillbedungeons.com. It's super easy. We'd love to have you do it. Even if you're not a Dungeon Plus subscriber and you're hearing this a week after everybody else did, you can still leave your questions there. We're happy to answer them. That's over at therewillbedungeons.com. All right, let's dive right in. Kristen has the list. Ask the questions.
All right, this first one is pretty topical for these past few weeks. Hello, wonderful TWBD fam. I hope you all are staying safe and healthy during this extraordinary and surreal time. I am the DM of a fantastic band of adventurers. We are all isolated right now, but would still love to play together. Could you walk me through the things you guys used to play remotely?
Oh, man. So I'll just quickly dive in or jump in with just with some like how you can connect with each other stuff. I assume that they're not trying to broadcast it, so that automatically makes whatever it is you're trying to do easier, Blake. But Discord is great for this. It lets you all share video. You can see each other through the whole experience. They can hear any audio that you want to have piped through to each other. And it's just made for this. And it's a great way to keep a chat room going for the rest of the time where you guys can't be online and talking to each other. You can be sending messages back and forth, planning your next adventure or whatever. So yeah, there are plenty of alternatives out there. I mean, you could use things like Skype or Zoom or a million other little conferencing apps to make this work. But I think Discord is the best suited for this. So that would be, that's what I would throw in on this answer. As far as like DMing and all that, Bo, you'd have to talk to that.
Well, no, I think you're right. It really depends what you're going for. A virtual tabletop is not required. So if you're just getting started, it sounds like you already play, or maybe you play in person, you're getting started up remotely. I mean, theater of the mind works. All you need is a player's handbook, sheets of paper. You know, you can use an online dice roller. So even if you just use Roll20 for that, it's fine. But if you do want to incorporate battle maps, you'll need to pick, you know, what is the other one called? Fantasy Grounds or Roll20? Those are the two
right
foremost ones. There are some other options out there, but those are the most known, at least the ones I know to be the most known.
Yeah, and you can all just share those web links and boom, Roll20's got everything. I mean, that's
D&D happened. Beyond's a great resource. It's very convenient, but not required as well. So it's really up to you. I mean, if you really think about it, right, it's sitting at the table just requires character sheets and some rules. And you're good to go. Mm-hmm. So even just building off that, building technologies from there, don't delay your first session because you don't know how to use these things. If you guys are already regularly playing, you should be able to pick up the phone and everyone should know what to do for the most part.
Yep. Hell, a speakerphone would work in a pinch if you had to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not big on the fancy toys. There are some DMs I'm quite certain that are very capable and use a plethora of online tools, but it's up to you. It's not required.
Awesome. Yeah. Only thing on top of that, microphone, of course. You don't need a camera.
Nope.
So pretty simple.
Yeah. A little headset. You may already have one for something else. Some cheap USB thing at Walmart. Wipe it down when you get it, though.
Even if the plastic, especially if the plastic casing's broken.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Ugh. So this next one is about walnuts. I love the show, but one thing bothers me. Firstly, what is walnuts race? And second, what gender? As it isn't clear. I may have not heard it, but yeah, I'm just curious.
Oh, human male.
Oh, actually, I guess I didn't know that either.
Yeah. I figured it was a male, but I didn't know walnut was human.
Yeah. All right. An a-hole. Well, I mean, a dummy.
I guess we didn't specify, but I mean, I had him in my mind as a human. Should he be something else? Did anyone have any ideas?
No.
I was thinking gnome.
He does seem small. Like that. Every time I think of him, he seems like a little guy.
Yeah, he's a weak and pathetic creature, but he's a human male.
All right.
Everything you're imagining about him still works.
He's an interesting character. Would you, as somebody who may end up drawing him, is there anything else descriptive about him in your head, like that you thought of, Bo?
Not really. I just meant, by way of showing, you know, what this tower was about, you know, having different walks of life, right? You've got your knight commanders and your sirs that are battle-hardened vets of the Paladric Order. But then you've got the people that work there, right? You've got your blacksmith, you've got your janitor, you've got your apprentices and people just deployed from training. And that's what he represents. He may one day be a great priest with great bravery. And certainly Varel and Nash did a lot to help him over the line when it came to curing, using his ability to cure things. So, you know, this is someone in their formative years. They may go on in the future to become a great hero thanks to the heroes.
Wow. We're going to leave our mark on this kid. It sounds like
if you don't get him killed. Yeah.
That's fair. But you know, everyone makes a choice, right? Mm-hmm. Even the NPC characters.
Well, he is kind of Tedna-like, so I have my concerns, but whatever.
There you go. Yeah. Follow characters into death. It's like, you're level one, buddy. I'm sorry.
I can say for sure he's exhibited no signs of being infatuated with anyone in the party. So
that's fair.
That itself will probably help his survival chances quite a bit.
All right. Who would you pick to play and or voice your character if Hollywood sunk hundreds of millions of dollars into producing the campaign as a film? And then to Bo, who would you choose to write and or direct?
Ooh. Well, first, can I say this? I want it to be animated. I don't want live action. Ooh. So specifically, I have a voice actor who could play it, but he could also maybe shave 10 years off him, but he could also play it if he had to. But are you guys familiar with the actor Michael Wincott? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, I know the name, but I need to know what he's from.
So he's the bad guy in the first Crow movie. He's the guy.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And he was also in that. Oh, what's the one?
Oh, God damn. Yeah. He's in A Strange Days.
Yeah. He's a trip.
He's
that
in
guy.
Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's very cool.
He was in that Alien Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah. County Monte Cristo. Yeah. He got pushed off the, okay, he was the jailer.
I'm on board. I had to Google it.
Yeah. He was in my head when I was building Nash in my head. Like that's the guy
He's done stuff where he's had long hair, like maybe been a vampire or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Look at this.
The
picture.
Long hair is how I recognize him. I didn't recognize him with the short hair.
Oh yeah, he's old like Bill in Westworld, which I love the character Old Bill, which is like that prototype piano playing robot for Westworld, if anyone's seen that. Anyway, he's just great. That dude is freaking great. So yes, but that's my answer is Michael Wincott, who's, you know, getting on in years. I think he's in his early 60s or something. Yeah, he is. It's like 62 or 3, but still, you know, he could do it. Anyone else?
Yeah, Stanley?
So John? We actually talked about this not too long ago. We did our casting, and the current look for Stanley as he currently appears is based on Loki from the Thor movies. So I guess Tom Hiddleston would be the logical choice.
That's cool. That. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good one. I could totally see that. That's Stanley as shit.
If you want just a voice actor, I mean, you might as well get, what's his name? Daniel Craig from Knives Out. It's basically Stanley Billings right there.
Perfect.
I do say so. So it's like Foghorn Leghorn, basically. is who Stanley is. That's awesome. How about Varel? I would love to know who you want to play Varel.
Right? Would be a puppet suit? Would it be CG?
Well, I mean, if we're doing a cartoon, ideally, but it's like the first thing that comes to mind if we do CG is Jar Jar, because you got a real body with the thing on top.
No, let's not use CG. We're using we're using animatronics and puppeteering.
Oh, we're puppeting this, are we? Okay.
Yeah, we got a puppet Varel. You can't do CG Varel.
That's fair.
It's a practical effects Varel. We can use CG in other places, but Varel's got to be a practical, like it's an actor wearing a suit and there's like a team of people controlling his mouth and eyes and stuff.
Nice.
It's like a
bit of CG to brush up the look or something.
Right. It's like two little people, one tall guy and an air conditioning unit. And you got Varel. That's it.
I mean, the first one that comes to mind is Patrick Warburton, who does the Kronk and the Family Guy.
He's Putty on Seinfeld. Yeah. He's great.
Yeah. I mean, Varel's basically based on a combination of Worf and from Venture Bros, the Swanson.
Brock Samson.
Samson.
Yeah, Brock Samson's so good. All right, that fits. That actually fits. You're not as sarcastic, though, and you're a little more naive as a character. Like, I like how Varel sticks to his kind of lizard understanding of everything and doesn't jive with, like, human ways and stuff. So in some ways, no matter what, your choice is the right. Those are good choices, but I would love to see those guys portray that part of you where they're just a little bit, you know, they're ready to fight any time and they're a little bit naive to the world around them. I like that. How about you, Bo? You got to be the storyteller. Who do you want to voice?
Wait, did Hope say hers?
Oh, Hope. We didn't do Hope.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I gave this thought. Live action Evangeline Lilly.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yep.
She was so kick-ass in the Ant-Man movies. And then voice actress would have to be Jennifer Hale. Is there any question when it comes to female voices in video games?
Femme Shep right there. Yeah. Nice. She's a good call. But who would play the storyteller? Calls. Who would be our DM voice?
Well, there'd be a movie, so there'd be no DM, right?
Sure there would. It'd be a narrator. It would say it was the...
Yeah, and then you have writer and director as part of the question.
Earth was burned.
I haven't really spent any time thinking about that. I don't know. I mean...
Morgan Freeman. He crawled
I don't think
through.
It would have... I don't think it would do a narrator. That's too hopeful.
Really?
A narrator provides a sense of reassurance that you're listening to a story and it cuts dread.
Thanks, Bo.
That's a good point.
Narrator's undercut dread.
No, you're right.
Is Morgan Freeman going to roll in and be like, something scary is about to happen?
No, I'd say
none of that.
I wish I could say that was the last time Nash Magar put something up his hole. I wish I could tell you that. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I don't picture one. I mean, this is... we can each picture whatever we want because it's just something we're talking about. So it's no wrong answers or right answers. But no, I would go without narrator if it was my choice.
If the producer forced you, though, and said, look, people like narrators, you got to have one. Is there
I'd kick over my director's chair or whatever.
Oh, damn. And the movie would get stuck in limbo.
I'd be like, exactly. I'd be like, I'm walking off the set.
Is that what they
Let
say
the
when they quit?
Let filmmakers make films, that's producer
what,
people.
That's what they say when they quit, is it? They go, I'm walking off the set. I love that.
I don't know what they do.
That's great.
Like I'd throw a Christian Bale level tantrum. How about that?
Oh, yeah. You could say, oh, good. Good for you or whatever.
He's like, yeah, good for you. We're getting narrators. Just great.
You know, my
because it's D&D, and D&D has a DM, so we have to have a DM in the movie. Mm-hmm. Just amazing, guys.
Yep. Oh, good for you.
That's him.
Yes.
No, seriously, I get the idea. I just don't think it's the right tone. That's for a more family-friendly, you know, movie, I think, or at least funny one.
Yeah.
Because who I would picture to direct... I saw an article recently that Better Call Saul was actually, Vince Gilligan was very public in saying, like, my name's on it. People give me credit all the time, but it's actually this guy, Peter Gould, who's making that show and his team.
Yeah.
And so I'd get Peter Gould and his team because Better Call Saul is awesome. And just overall, that camp treats this material with a ton of respect and nuance for weird things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and we tend to do that. We tend to spend a lot of, you know, it's like there's this big thing happening, but we want to talk about Walnut, you know, like what's the deal with Walnut? And I feel like the way they do that show is they do obsess with small side things mm-hmm. as being important to the overall narrative. So I just kind of love that. I'm picturing, you know, Dust Hill and the relationships of the characters and how weird the place is and the world is. I don't want anything explained. There's just a lizard guy. There's just goblins. It's just Mad Max land. And, you know, what was his name? Rasfer Tutum Bezos. You know, that whole scene with the goblins cheering on. They bring the red lizard folk out in a bag and just have it fight with Varel and the baby wanders out. Like that whole thing would be done by the Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul team to perfection. So, bam.
I like that. So, we got the whole production. All we have left is the money and influence to make it happen.
Well, this is all well and good, but what about the over-the-head version?
What's the over-the-head version?
The over-the-hedge version, you know, where they don't cast voice actors. It's all stunt casting of popular people.
Oh.
But it's all famous people. Like, you know, Stanley's played by Bruce Willis for no reason, but to, like, get the name in there.
Oh, yeah, good point. Oh. Over-the-hedge is totally that, isn't it? That whole movie is that.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be weird.
I want Fassbender, then, which I mentioned before. He'd be good also live action, but give me
Michael
Fassbender.
Yeah, but I think he tried too hard. I think what Kyle means is more is who's the guy that's going to come in and be like, hey, yeah, I'm Stanley Billings. Pleased to meet you.
Mm.
And you're like, what? They really made an odd choice with the casting of Stanley Billings here just to get somebody's name on there.
I don't know who then. I can't think of who I would have.
Orlando Brad Bloom reprising his role as an elf.
There you go. Brad.
Oh, perfect.
I'll take
he's
Brad
Pitt.
He's
actually gotten kind of good. He'd be good Nash these days. Like, yeah. He's getting kind of weird. I like him.
Yeah. His thing on that, what was that show on Amazon? The weird turn of the century, but there's still
fairy
fantasy.
Tale thing, right?
Yeah,
with the fairies, I mean, or something.
He was really good in that. He was very good in that.
If we're just dropping like actor bombs, then it's Johnny Depp's got to play one of the characters.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know
well,
which way.
Varel, really. Or Nash.
I don't
You'd
know.
You'd have to move a character.
Nash Johnny Depp would be perfect.
It would be good.
And maybe a young Daniel Day-Lewis for Stanley? I don't know.
Maybe.
Oh.
He's pretty method, though. Pretty method.
Yeah.
I think Daniel Day-Lewis for Nash and then Johnny Depp for Varel.
Okay. Done.
But like a young Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, but
if we're getting the biggest box office draws possible.
Well, yeah, if you can pull
the album Hope.
Yeah, because right now
it's like an alpha for
I mean, if we're live Owen for Stanley, yeah. And Bruce Willis for Mash.
Sure.
And
yeah.
Yeah, if we're 90s casting this all sounds good. Right.
You just get Arnold for Varel.
Yeah, why not?
I want to stick a knife in me, see what's going on in the air.
Yeah.
I don't like this movie anymore.
Yeah. And they'll still make you narrate it. That's the worst part.
Yeah, they'll be narrated in that
Christopher Walken for Stanley. I've picked it.
Wow.
Ooh.
Nice.
And he doesn't do an accent.
Wouldn't it be like Zac Efron? Like, when we have to get young,
well,
big
actors? Well, yeah, this is what we were talking about in the 90s. This is the era I can
Varel is played by Dax Shepard, I guess.
And you have to pick a narrator because the producers thought the movie was too confusing for the audience,
course.
Right?
Yeah, of course. In this scenario, it makes sense, so... It's who's the biggest name in narration right now? Is it Morgan Freeman?
Still? No, I think if it's today, you get what's his name who does all of the BBC nature stuff, Richard Attenborough.
Richard Attenborough.
Yeah, you get him to go, yeah. And now we see the female doing, you know, whatever, however he does his stuff. You have him do it. That
the
would
heroes
be cool.
Of the waste make their way across the sandy desert.
I would eat that up, dude.
What about
the
Pokemon's man? John, can you do the Pokemon's man?
Herzog.
Who's the Poke? Oh.
Ryan Reynolds?
Werner.
Oh, Werner Herzog.
Hold on. What does he say in The Mandalorian? I got to find
the
voice.
Baby.
I understand the Mandalorian.
Bounty hunting is a difficult profession.
Yeah.
Complicated.
Yeah. Complicated profession.
Bring us the child.
All right. Well, we answered that question then.
We'll get Andy Serkis to play the Goblin King.
All right.
We're going to play Quizquaz and the Goblin King. He can play them.
And
I mean, Andy Serkis is all the side characters. Mm-hmm. Bok, Tedna, like everyone.
Bok and Tedna.
Please, Bok.
Well, when I was asked to pleasure myself on stage, I was immediately.
This movie, but without any explanation or narration, this movie would be awesome, dude.
I feel one last one we have to add to the cast is Gary Oldman.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Get him in there somewhere. Jam him in.
Yeah, he can be the Hill Master.
Yeah,
he can do it. Drink the Hill Guard?
That's not his voice.
That was his voice back in the day.
Well, I mean, I'm saying that's not.
Gary Oldman would have to do the Hill Master's voice.
He'd do it. He could play weirder.
Yeah, he's pretty weird.
He could be Stanley with the. He'd just go back to his Fifth Element character.
Oh, my.
Stones.
Oh, Christian Bale is that cursed dwarf we fought in the month.
Bring
me them stones. What? Who? Dharma? Dharma?
Yeah, Dharma the dwarf.
Oh. My wife's been watching Dharma and Greg, so that kind of threw me for
a minute. No, not that Dharma.
I thought it was Dory. Isn't it Dory?
What?
Didn't we have a door named Dory?
All right, this is only Dorothy. Question two.
we have a lot more questions to answer.
Our narrator's moving it on. All right, let's see. If you could have one piece of equipment from the entire run of the show in real life, what would it be?
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
I mean, the portal gun's an easy answer. But if you told me it couldn't be any of the cool stuff, I would want that dildo I'm carrying around, and I want to put it under glass. This one, that.
Now we find out what's not cool in the show.
But I think
just not the bat guano.
No. I don't want
I can
that.
Hook you up.
I don't want that. If I had to pick, though, it would be the portal gun. I've always wanted one of those anyway, with or without TWBD.
Yeah. I want to say diplomacy, but I have no practical use for it.
Sword, it's gonna sit on your mantle.
I just want it back so much that now somebody's offered me an imaginary version to have in real life, and I'm like, I should take it. The immovable rod was pretty great. I miss that too.
Yeah, bag of holding would be cool.
Bag of holding, there we go. There's the practical one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Other than that,
I'd want the metal arm for Hope, but it can transform.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, you know what? Now that you're, since we're back in the, desert with your thinking, I want a Fate 4 that runs.
Mm.
I'd drive that around town now. Like that would be a thing I would do. In fact, if there was any way for me to do it, I would love that. I'd love some old van. I'd convert it. This is something for 20-year-old me, but oh man, how cool would that be? Just a big old loud, big Fate 4, painted on the side, weird shutters on the windows, gun mounted thing on top. Like, it would just be badass. I would love that.
Like the traveling D&D van. Yeah. Like, hop in, kids, a good place.
Yeah. D&D. I love it. That's a great idea.
George's sandwich.
George's sandwich.
Pretty sure it was delicious.
Yeah. Probably very good.
Hope, you're the last one.
Who is Hope? Hmm? What?
Hope is the last one. She didn't answer yet.
Oh, I was saying Hope's metal arm, but it
oh, you did say metal arm. That's right. Yeah. Okay. I thought we missed you. Okay. You actually want to be an Og.
It would be so cool. Okay. But it would be like having a model of the Terminator from the movie, like one they actually used in the stills. Oh.
It's pretty cool. Oh. That'd be
badass. I just love that design. It's so bad.
You wouldn't get. You'd take you forever to get through TSA. You'd have to have special clearance or something. But that'd be fun.
Yeah, your special clearance would be your metal arm going beep 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 beep.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you don't have to fly for a while, so that's fine. You don't even have to think about it for a while.
That's true.
Yeah.
Unless you had a magic broom, which I totally take as my item.
I want Nash's underwear. I changed my answer.
Air-conditioned underwear is a really good idea.
It is.
But I changed my answer too, actually.
It's the floating part that I want. I mean, the air's nice, but
being kept cool no matter how hot of a day it is because your underwear is like thermally refreshing you.
Yeah, but like 7 months out of the year, it's like cold where I live. So I want the flotation. It has to be part of it or else forget it.
All right. Well, it's got both. So we're both happy.
All right. Sweet.
There we go.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it too. Yeah.
All right, Will Scott, go back and draw all of the different iterations of the team, or maybe just Nash someday. I would like to see what he envisions when he thinks of these things, or would that be something he plans to do at some level on the Patreon?
Oh my gosh, I hadn't really thought about it. but maybe. I mean, we've talked about different kinds of potential coffee table book style things that might be cool in the future. You know, things that can include maps and a bunch of notes from Bo, and maybe the way M Sports works as its own standalone little mini game that we could publish or something. So there's, we've definitely had thoughts like that. And if we ever did anything that included a bunch of art, what I would like to see is art from the community. I'll put some of mine in there, but just all that cool stuff people have made, I'd want to have included in there also. So maybe, I don't know, the idea of like the big book of TWBD would be awesome, because we could include everything in it from, you know, pictures of us and information about who we are, but then also just lots of tidbits, and then an art section, and then, you know, a scenario section, and something like that would be rad. So whether I would do this as a series or not may depend on whether we did something big like that, because then it might be worth it to do more of those. But when he says every iteration of the team, I mean, there haven't been that many iterations. I mean, Nash has seen some changes, but really it's, you know, Nash before his disembodiment and then Nash after. But everybody else has kind of stayed the same. I guess Hope took a real beating.
Overall had his eye chest. He still got the eye in there.
Yeah.
Still has it. It's dead. Hope's gone through, you know, Robot Hope and back to Outland Hope.
Is that eye that's in, is it the eye in Varel's chest? Is it just looking down? Did you shut it? Does it look up like a dead guy? Is it gray and kind of clouded up from being just a dead eye? Like, what's the what does it look like if I'm looking at Varel?
I figured it was like a crater. You know, it's a scar where the eye was.
Okay,
so yeah, it's kind of sunken in and damaged, so there might almost be like this concave thing there.
Okay,
but he hasn't removed anything from his chest, so whatever's in there remains there.
Ooh. Does it smell?
No, it doesn't smell. That would suck. I have excellent.
Yeah, but
smell.
It's a dead fleshy thing, yeah?
Yeah, but you know, like a cut off arm. It's just kind of weird and lumpy, and you know.
But wouldn't a cut off arm smell?
Not forever, though.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
I guess the one thing to keep in mind is that it is like this living artifact, but it's not an organic creature, so it doesn't obey the rules of rotting, perhaps the way that you would think,
right,
like an appendage would, right?
Right.
It is an artifact. So,
yeah. And I love the way the question's asked with iteration, because it makes me think of a BlizzCon panel where they're like, we saw an opportunity to upgrade Nash's look.
we want to reiterate, it's very important to the team, silhouettes. It's all about the silhouettes, and so Nash's silhouette matters. Next question. When do we get a Fate 4 mount? That's exactly what that would be.
I think Nash has had more costumes than we're giving him credit for. There was the black robe emperor thing that I pictured to begin with.
Yeah.
Mm. But then there was naked in the dirt Nash. Then there was he
oh,
could
drunk,
only find like minor clothes.
Yeah.
Nash when he's just walking around weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there was the vampire costume change.
That's true.
Yep. Then he was dressed all fancy from vampire clothes. Then he got the robe with all the patches on it.
Oh right, the robes. I forgot about my robe. That's the one thing I miss the most after the.
Then there's all the future Nashes if you count them in your lineup.
Oh,
because one of them had glasses and a white robe and fair skin. The other one less so, but they both had white starry robes.
Man, those other Nashes are a plot hole that needs filling. One day we need more of them.
Just well, you made it to the good part of the time barf, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They were all there to try and help you save the universe, and now you're not seeing them anymore. What does that mean?
I don't know what it means. I miss them. I miss these future selves of mine.
Well, there's one that might still be alive, which is the one that is part of the fleshy hive mind if it survived the explosion in Kaer'Vilon.
Yeah.
You know, if it's still there, then there's at least one copy of Nash that you know was unable to travel back because it took a choice to join the hive mind and then get exiled from the hive mind.
Right. And even the Nashes I don't control are kind of dumbasses. I love that.
I love it. Get exiled from the hive mind.
Like, how does that even happen? It's like having a Borg get kicked off. It's one thing if they
exactly what it is.
Yeah.
They assimilated the Nash and they were like, oh, never mind.
This we have nothing to gain from this and it's just bothering
yeah,
us.
Yeah, it would be better if he just left, kick him out of the collective. That's amazing. All right.
But you're too powerful to kill, so.
Damn straight.
All right, I have a question for Bo. During the early part of the campaign, while the party is on Earth, they just can't catch a break. Everyone they meet sucks, and even if they seem like they might be decent, eventually they just stab the party in the back. The party then makes it to Sigil after being very selfless, and the whole situation changes. They find themselves in this huge city, which is often described in lore as a dog-eat-dog, look-out-for-number-one kind of a place. And it turns out to be full of many more friendly and helpful people, even friendly mind flayers. Was that a conscious shift on your part as a DM? I know early you were trying to make the point that Earth sucked and everyone was fighting over scraps. When the party left for Sigil, did you have to make an effort to portray the NPCs differently?
Yes, it's harder to do good guys than it is bad guys, for sure. So on the effort part, I mean, it definitely is more challenging. Because, you know, they got to be good. They got to be good in such a way that the party doesn't even believe they're good. That's how bad it is. Like, we're in this right now in the campaign. We're in the White Tower with a Paladric order of devotees to Euphemius, a lawful good god. And nobody, you guys are suspicious all the time. You're like, Elantris, it's her. How did she get the fist so fast? And it is a conscious shift because Earth is not an important plane on all the material plane discs. Like, Earth is not important. And I wanted to emphasize how crappy their world is. So to do that, you know, you're now in the multiverse and you could be meeting crappier people than we've been meeting, but you just so landed in a part of town where there are good people in Sigil and there are good gods in creation and there are people who aspire to do good things. And that doesn't really exist too much on Earth. In fact, Tiet Kala might be the only place where any hope of good of any kind might be. There are definitely Paladric orders and on Earth, including the Order of Poxus, which Melgor heads up. So they exist, but they're few and far between. So the idea that you know, even though it's a dog-eat-dog world, I mean, we have real dog-eat-dog cities, and there's still good people in all of those cities. And so Sigil, to me, is like a New York of the cosmos. Like, it has everything and everyone, and it's a focal point for a lot of meeting of different ideologies, races, worlds, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it is on purpose. And you can definitely see all the emotional scarring of our player characters as they proceed to mistrust. That being said, there are definitely lots of thieves, lots of liars, lots of charlatans in Sigil. And our player characters have run across a couple of these folks and will continue to do so because it's not all good. Yeah, it's like good is completely absent in our campaign, and it is weird playing good guys because sure. It's just not the aesthetic of where we were from.
Sure. We're almost out of time, but I think we have at least time for one more. Let's do one more.
All right. Well, this last one is for Kyle. Has anyone told Kyle he looks like Lieutenant James Holden, played by Stephen Strait from the hit Amazon TV show The Expanse? He needs to know. Thanks, and I love you all.
That's not a question.
Wow.
Or I guess it is.
Yeah. You know what?
Another question.
That's dead on. That's crazy. You do look like James Holden. That's
nuts.
He doesn't
look like him. He's just got black hair and a beard.
No, but he's also tall, and he's
tall,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of similarities.
He's lean, and he looks like when he grows facial hair.
I can pick the two apart in a lineup.
Well, yeah, that's true. But you could play James Holden. You could totally do it.
I should get some glasses. Those look good.
It's a cool. That show's awesome.
He's a cool character. Yeah. He's the protagonist of the show. Really.
Yeah. In the book, I pictured somebody very different than who they got, but I actually really like who they got. He's good. Although he was in a really shitty movie. Did you guys ever see 10,000 BC?
No.
He was the main cave dude from 10,000 BC, and that is a shit movie. It's terrible.
Oh, not even fun?
Not even fun. It's the worst thing. It was those Emmerich guys. The Emmerich brothers always make disaster movies. 2012 and Day After Tomorrow and all that. That was them. And I thought, man, this is going to be so cool. This is going to be, you know, the changing of the world and these cavemen figuring out how to do whatever. And there'll be dinosaurs and stuff. And it was just bad and like really bad. But he went on to be James Holden, and that's very good. So there you go.
Better or worse than John Carpenter?
Worse than John Carpenter.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, worse than that.
Can I selfishly ask a question of the party?
Yeah.
Seeing as it's our 100th episode, figure this is a good time to ask this question and just see where everybody lands. We talked about this a little bit in Discord. What is everyone's favorite story arc or story beat from the first 100 episodes of our campaign?
Oh my gosh.
Ooh.
That's an easy answer for me. And it wasn't to do anything with me. It was all of Kyle's red lizard, black lizard stuff, like all the clans and all that junk. I loved that. That was
Lizard Game of Thrones.
Yes. Ooh. I loved Lizard Game of Thrones. I really enjoyed that. There was something about that that was very visual for me. I could see the place. I could see these warring lizard factions. There was something really fun about being in his Klingon world for that stretch. I loved that.
I pick right out of there. Yeah, my 1v1 orc fight was the most awesome thing that's ever happened as a player in D&D.
I went into his pants and saw his testicles up close. That was a lot of fun.
That was foreshadowing.
And what a shadow it was.
Yeah, I really cast one. How about you, John?
I think for me, probably my favorite story arc was probably the early Teotkala stuff. Like, kind of from the arrival to going underground, like, all that stuff was really, really cool and really, really fun. I really enjoyed all of that. On a just kind of beat-by-beat basis, I've really gotten to enjoy the complicated relationship between Stanley and Varel recently. I think that stuff has been incredibly fun to do and play. And so I think that's probably mine. Probably my favorite arc and favorite moment.
All right. How about you, Hope or Kristen?
Let's see. Favorite arc, the vampire stuff. Oh my God. It was so much fun.
All you got to do is say his name three times.
Oh, shit. That's right. Oh, my God. Would he appear?
It's like the candy.
That was the last thing he told you. So that's always. You don't know if it'll work. You don't know what will happen. But that's the last thing he told you. If it is your favorite thing, there's a way to potentially get your favorite, at least if you return to Earth. I don't know if it's going to work in the Outland, but.
Yeah. And then favorite moment is definitely the jumping and shooting of the rocket launcher into Varel's back to launch him. It was just such a cinematic moment. Like, you see everything in slow-mo, and you can see everyone's expressions and how it would be shot frame for frame. Ugh,
sorry, so the rocket launcher at Lizard Game of Thrones?
Yes. Okay. At the end, that launched Varel and Orp out the window so that they could have their fight while simultaneously destroying the House Feuds once and for all.
Ugh. Yeah, that was pretty.
Yeah, that was good. If I had to pick a favorite cliffhanger, it's this week with me teleporting into another creature, or another creature teleporting.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know what that means. That feels like instant death. Obviously, it must not be, or Bo would have said so, but I'm freaked.
You have to wait 7 days to find
out. I'm freaked out about it.
Dude, I'm excited, though, because think about it. Hopefully you'll fall into the tower and maybe that would kill the evil part inside of you.
Maybe. Or what if a hybrid version that's not only now Nash doesn't just have a little baby arm and a plant penis, but he's got the DNA of some other weird thing and now he's even more of a freaking abomination. I would love that.
Yeah, what happens if it just permanently changes your appearance?
I'm down. Oh, I'm down for it. I'm down for whatever you do, Bo, but I'm so on it. I mean, partly because it affects my character so much, but I've never had anything that happened that was just so randomly jacked up.
Unfortunately, this is really bad because, you know, what you merged with is a bad scenario.
Yeah.
It's an evil creature from the abyss, from the Outland. going to be a lot of problems.
Yeah, I figure.
Oh, boy.
But I just need to, I cannot wait to see.
It's a creature of pure evil destruction. It's a demon. This is,
well.
It's so awesome.
You're like, it's so awesome. I'm like, yeah, so, you know.
I don't, I mean, it's only awesome from, I don't mean awesome from like Nash's survivability or even what he's going to have to do.
So it was a complete random development. Like, that's where I had marked it. I put it on the GM layer so I would know where it would reappear.
Yeah.
And then you moved into the exact spot and you're like, all right, I'll break my concentration. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I had no idea. It was like a fail video. You can't do it twice. You can't make this stuff up. You just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I don't know how it's going to turn
out. Pretty much. I suppose I could have said something like, that's the place where you guy banished.
Well,
I feel like you're pretty lenient when it comes to us trying to get away with shit.
Yeah. You guys got to remember some things. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll remember to be here next week so we can find out what happened. Also, if you're a member of our Dungeon Plus thing, or membership, you're getting this thing now. Like tonight, you'll have it, which is to say April 5th. If you're not part of that, you have to wait an extra week. If you want to become a part of that, you can do it really inexpensively. At the lowest level, you get this bonus show. That's over at therewillbedungeons.com. We hope you're all well and safe. Take care of each other. We'll see you next week.
We saw an opportunity to upgrade Nash's look.